Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for this series, Lord, that describes your very nature, that you have no bound, that you have no limits. You are a limitless God. And Lord, today we remind ourselves of the very things that we need to tweak, to fix, or perhaps be reminded in order to make sure that that promise still stands true in our lives, and that your true nature will continue to have its way as it bears fruit out of our bellies. Lord, as it comes out in our lives, that you are limitless. No matter how young, how old we are, let that come true today as we continue to seek you more in this theme. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now that you would speak through me, that you would use my voice and my body today as a living sacrifice. Let it be not my words, but your words speaking to every heart, every soul. I don't know every story, but you do. I don't know every thought, every emotion going on in this room right now, but you do. So have your way. We surrender this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Faithful Church said, come on. Amen. Amen. Can we thank our worship team? How awesome are they? Man, we've been going through a series called Limitless. In case you don't know me, my name is Magno. I'm the youth and worship pastor here at Church Alive. I am the crazy young punk youth pastor who tries to keep it all together, but it comes out every once in a while. It's just too crazy to contain. But anyway, I love being part of Church Alive. And before I continue, I want to give a moment to honor our senior leadership, Pastor Anthony not being here, but Pastor Miriam's here representing the both of them. So can we give thanks to our pastors? How grateful are we that we get to serve a church that is alive? Man, we are so grateful for Pastor Anthony and Pastor Miriam. You know, I hang out at Pastor Anthony's and Pastor Miriam's house a lot, and a few weeks ago, I don't know if it was a month or two, I was hanging out in the kitchen with Pastor Miriam, where we find ourselves often, you know, cooking something or having chocolate milk. But some things just never get old, and I don't think I'll ever graduate from chocolate milk. It just makes you feel loved. I don't know. That's weird, isn't it? But we were in the kitchen, and we kept hearing this noise. We kept hearing this cricket, and Pastor Miriam proceeds to tell me that this cricket has been in the house for a few weeks now, or a few days. And in my head, I'm like, why haven't you dealt with it yet? And then as soon as I thought about it, I was like, watch, I'm going to be the one to have to deal with it. She asked if we can go ahead and handle it. And for those of you who know me, I love insects. I hate them, actually. They are demonic. Honestly, I think God doesn't make a mistake, but I really do think that when he made animals, he must have sneezed or tripped, and then a cricket came out. Because that thing, especially the black ones, they look evil. You can't even tell. You can't even see their eyes. You can't tell if they're looking at you or not. They're just weird, and they just make this cricket annoying sound. And there's a cricket behind Pastor Miriam's fridge. So Magno to the rescue. I'm like, yeah, sure, I got it. Inside, I was dying like a little girl. I really was. I really do believe, though, at the same time, that our church has an issue with insects. For those of you who were here last week, Pastor Anthony with his amazing story, and then the whole centipede thing in the church office, which I don't want to remember. But anyway, we pushed the fridge forward, and sure enough, there's a massive cricket, and this thing is dark, and it just looks evil, and I come try to think through different ways that we can take it out. So I grab a container, a plastic container, and then there was a Connect card. Man, Connect cards are so handy. You thought that only in church that you could use them, but man, they will come useful in the kitchen too. So I thought, I'm going to cover it up, and then I'm going to slip the Connect card under it. But I didn't want to chop it, because if I chopped it, I was going to see the gooey stuff come out, and then gooey stuff would come out of me, because I just can't have, I do not have the stomach for that. But anyway, we sure enough box him in. I boxed him in, and Pastor Miriam was praying and interceding in the back. Great moment to be spiritual, by the way. Thank you. But then I box it in, and I am getting chills. I really am. I just don't have the stomach for insects. I really don't. God loves everyone, but not insects. And I'm getting chills this whole time, and I got phase one, which is to box it, and then phase two is to slip the Connect card under, and you don't want to leave enough space for it to run out, because if that thing runs out, I'm done. And I'm questioning my faith this whole time. My salvation is on hold because this thing is just evil. But then I make it to stage two and I block it in. And then stage three is to slip your hand under the connect card, pick it up, and run outside like a little girl and just throw it out. And I make it through that stage. And then sure enough, we go to the backyard. And then when I got to the backyard, I thought it was going to be the easiest part, but this was the hardest part. Because he looked mad. And I didn't want to let him out. He looked like the last thing on his mind was to run out and go cricket somewhere else. I think he wanted to cricket on my face after I let him out. So I'm like, man, well, how am I going to? I know this sounds crazy and dramatic, but this is how I am, man. I just can't deal with insects. I really can't. I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, I got it. This is how I'm going to do it. I look back. Pastor Miriam has a door shut, and she's just sitting there smiling. It's dark. I hear other crickets. They're all closing in on me. I have no time. I'm running out of time, people. I'm like, okay, I got this. I know what I'm going to do. I stare at the grass. I stare at the door. I'm going to slowly put him down. I stare at the grass. I stare at him. He's staring at me. I'm like, hey. And I stare at Pastor Miriam. And as soon as I put it down, I go slowly. I just throw it out and I run inside. I threw the container out, connect cards, pots and pans, everything in the kitchen. I threw it out. I don't care. And I ran inside. I closed the door and Pastor Miriam has this confused look on her face. She's just like, I'm like, what? That's how you handle that? That's as manly as it gets. You just throw out the pots. You don't care. Just buy a new one for you tomorrow at TJ Maxx discount credit card. I don't know why, but anyway. Thinking through that story and thinking through like Limitless, this series, it's funny, I found that in my life, whether it's a cricket or situations or seasons that we all go through and we all have in common, there are some things that will make you scared or make you freak out, like dangerous crickets and whatever situation you're in. And I found that there's such a tendency for you and I to want to box God in right away because something makes you uncomfortable. Something makes you unsure, uncertain. One thing that I love and have a love-hate relationship with is the uncertainty. Like the not knowing what the future looks like, the details of it. Trusting God in the process. But man, it's such an uncomfortable feeling not knowing what tomorrow holds. Yes, I know who holds it, but it's a challenging thought to not know how my family will be tomorrow, how next week would look like. Yeah, God has it all in control, but there's such a tendency, right, in our hearts. And it can make you uncomfortable. It can make you insecure. And then I found that if we don't watch out, we end up limiting God by putting him in this God-shaped box. Yeah, we say he's limitless. We say he's all-powerful. We say that his promises still stand. But meanwhile, we go back home and he's sitting in a plastic container with a connect card under it, and he's boxed in. You know, I found that as a Christian, sometimes our faith can box God in, can limit him from doing the very thing he wants to do. Our trust in him. You know, the Word of God says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, sometimes our mistakes can, if you don't deal with it right away, if you don't keep taking your thoughts captive and casting out all the negativity, you can end up limiting God because you're too focused on the negative thoughts. Or maybe even as a non-believer, maybe you're here today, you're checking out church for the first time. What could be limiting God in your life? It's the simple fact of not believing in him. Maybe you haven't had that moment where you said, Jesus, I put my faith in you. Make no mistake, that is limiting God in your life. Yes, he is limitless, but God has given us a choice. And that's what love is all about. Love is not controlled. It's actually freely given and freely received. At the end of the day, you and I have the choice to love one another. And I found that it's the same with God. You know, there's a story about a farmer who won the first prize for the country fair for growing a radish that was the exact shape and size of a milk bottle. I know. Way to go, man. Many were curious as to how the farmer was able to grow this radish that was the exact shape of the milk bottle. Finally, one gentleman went up to him and asked, how did you do this? Without that hesitation, the farmer said, it was easy. I got the seed growing. Then I put it into the milk bottle. It had nowhere else to go. You know, when I read that, I got reminded that each person in this room has a seed that has been planted in you. there's a mustard-sized seed that has been planted in you. And even though it's a seed that can grow and bear fruit that is limitless, I wonder how many times, or I wonder what we've been through that has made us put that seed, not in a milk bottle, but in a God-shaped box. Even though it's a limitless seed, even though it's an unstoppable seed, I wonder how many God-shaped boxes are sitting in this room right now. We declare He is limitless, but because we've lost track, at some point He's sitting in that God-shaped box. The seed is growing, but it's in the shape of a box. It's limitless. There's so many outcomes, but it's still boxed in because God gives us a choice at the end of the day. You know, I believe that today, the title of my message is this, to break the box. I believe that some of us are going to break the box in this room today. I don't know what that looks like in your life today. I don't know what that thing may be, but I believe that some people are going to open up the box, break down the walls of whatever seed has been planted in you and God wants to do. I don't know what happened along the line. I don't know what happened in the past, but I believe that God is going to help you break that box today by sharing of my own personal experience. And also, I believe that God has given this message for this morning for you and I. And together, we're going to break the box. Are you with me today? With me today. I think we limit God when we only stand on our feet. Not when we stand on our feet, when we only stand on our feet. You know, so many times, I've been part of Church Alive for 8 years now, growing and plugging myself in. There's such a tendency, there is a fight to want to stand on my own 2 feet. And as you get to know God, He wants you to stand firm. He wants you to go through every trial and succeed. He wants you to face every obstacle and come on top. But I found that between the enemy coming against us, the flesh and the human tendency, there's such a fight to want to only stand on your 2 feet. How many of us have been in that place where you want to have full control? God, I trust you, but not on Monday. God, I trust you, but not on Saturday when I'm about to go to that party that you're not really proud of me going to. How many of us have found ourselves in a place where we want to trust, but we want to stand only on our own 2 feet? You know, Paul, in the beginning of the scripture, he says, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, which basically means, man, when I get a glimpse of God's plan for my life and His church, when I have a slight revelation, I have no choice but to fall on my knees. When I think of His goodness, when I think of His church, when I think of all He has done for me, and when I think of that feeling, that dream He's put in my heart, that vision, that whatever calling He has for me, when I get a glimpse and a small revelation of it, I cannot help myself but fall on my knees and pray to the Father. You know, I believe today that you and I can only stand to claim victory when we've learned to put up a fight on our knees. I believe that there's a lot of Christian out there, and I am so guilty of this in some seasons, with the tendency to just only stand on my 2 feet without putting any time on my knees. I believe that the only way that we can win and stand against the battles of this world is to have moments after moments where we claim victories, not standing, but on our knees. I believe that the position of being on our knees is a position of surrender. It's a moment where you say, God, I can't do it without you. There's something humbling about it. There's something humiliating in a way. You're standing on you're kneeling down, and it's so helpless. It's a place where you're weak. It's a place where you have no other place to go, and you confess, Lord, I need you today. Lord, there's no way I can keep on going one more day without you. You know, I believe that today, as God continues to stir up what it means to live a limitless life, that God will remind some of us today the power of, yes, standing on Mondays as you go out into your job, standing and going into your schools, of how important and how powerful it is to never sacrifice the intimate place that you have with God. And not just standing, but being on your knees, being on our knees to me remind me of scripture. It's a posture of where you have to go to scripture. You're helpless, you are weak, and you need Jesus for that moment to remind you, to recharge you, to strengthen your inner man. How many of us know the outside can look pretty? It can have the fashion thing going on. You can smell good, you can sound good, but if the inside is dead, it's only a shell and a matter of time before you shatter and the enemy takes you out. And this week, I believe that I've been so challenged with that thought. You know, when I first became a Christian, there's like this high that you're on. It's like, oh, Jesus, I just love you. Your grace, your mercy. Oh, you have a plan for me. I never heard that before. And then the moments of intimacy with God, they're so raw. There's no hidden agenda. You're just there because you love this Jesus and you just can't believe the amazing love that he has for you. But then there are seasons, life hits. The enemy, the flesh, temptations, and there is a tug between your heart and the rawness of you spending time with him and it becoming an obligation. You know, I believe that as a church, God is calling us back to a place of intimacy, a place where we find ourselves on our knees. Yes, join a team. Be everything God has called you to be. Join a connect group. Make sure you are a generous person, giving Christmas away. We're making it happen. But the only way we can sustain ourselves for the long run, the only way we can stand on the promises is if we learn to kneel in his presence. The only way that we can stand on the promises as we sang this morning is if we continue to kneel in his presence. You know, I had a dream in the early years of being plugged into the church. And I shared this with our youth. I shared this with our connect groups. And in this dream, I woke up in the middle of the night in this house that I used to live in Bayonne with my parents. And as I woke up in this dream, there was just a dark feeling. There's just a dark presence. And I remember going into the hallway, and it was a long hallway. And at the end of the hallway, hopefully I won't freak anyone out by this, there was a skeleton with hair and a black robe just floating. And in my dream, I knew it was the devil. I'm not saying that's what he looks like, but that thing was ugly. So yeah, the devil can look like it. But anyway, it was just standing there. And there's so much fear. And I couldn't help but draw to it. And it was drawing to me. It was flowing to me. And I just remember in this dream trying to punch it, trying to pull some MMA moves and trying to uppercut him, just kick him. And the more I tried to fight with my physical strength, the weaker I got. The weaker I felt. And there was a moment where I remembered a scripture. And all of a sudden, the scripture came out of my lips. And as soon as it came out of my lips, the thing had this look. And I had this look. And he's like, oh, crap. That's what he looked like. And I was like, oh, I'm up to something here. And then I quoted that scripture again. And then I quoted that scripture again. And then all of a sudden, I felt taller. My chest was puffing out. My biceps were getting pumped. And not just the physical, the spiritual biceps, people. Focus here. And then all of a sudden, more scriptures started to flow out. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. If my God is for me, then who dare, even a skeleton with hair, how dare he be against me today? Man, as I advance as the church, the word of God says that the gates of hell will not prevail against me. He will not succeed. And as I quoted scriptures, this thing just floated away. And the more I quoted, the stronger I felt. And clearly, he had no touch, no place in my life. One lesson I was taught from this. There's a scripture that says in Ephesians 6, for we are fighting against flesh and blood enemies. For we are not just fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Can I tell somebody today that in order to keep serving this limitless God and allow him to be limitless in your life, it's not just by standing and being positive. It's not just by coming and being plugged in, which is great. You gotta have a place where you come back to and you get on your knees and you spend time that is raw, that is real, that is intimate with our God, and start to quote scriptures, start to just have a moment of surrender in order to really win the battles, in order to really allow God to be limitless in your life, in order to stand on his promises in the very way that you and I are designed to be, we got to learn to kneel in his presence with no hidden agenda. It's raw, it's real. You want to. Does that make sense to somebody today? Does that make sense? So that point was fight your battles on your knees. Fight your battles on your knees. Point two today is this. One, what's another way that we limit God? We limit God when we think we have God all figured out. We limit God when we think we have him all figured out. You know, some things we will understand. You know, the Holy Spirit will reveal deep and hidden things. As you read scripture, you will get revelation. God will speak. There is no doubt. And there are some characters, some characteristics of God that you and I will clearly understand. Exodus 3:14 says this. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, God of our fathers, the God of our fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Who is he? God says to Moses, I am who I am. And this is what you are to say to them. I am has sent me to you. One powerful thing for you and I to know today, that God is all powerful. There's no authority, there's no power that can match to him. That's one thing that we clearly know. Another thing is that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at all times. He is everywhere at all times. Psalm 139, we are told this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the morning, or if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. He is everywhere at all times. We cannot escape. How many of us know that right now we are breathing in the borrowed breath of God? Whether you knew that or not today, you and I came to life when that first breath was breathed into Adam's nostrils. Only then he became man. We cannot escape. That's one thing we know. God is omniscient. He knows everything at all times. Romans 11:33 says this, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that he has to repay them? How from him and through him and for him all things are created. To him be the glory forever and ever. He is everywhere. He is all powerful. He knows everything. Some things we will understand. Some things will be revealed to us. But how many of us know that it's not our job to figure it all out? I think one of the greatest hindrances to the Christian walk is when we find ourselves in a place trying to make sense of everything. When we try to connect the dots. When we try to make sense of who he was, who he is, and why did that thing happen. I think it's a place that is dangerous and it becomes limiting to God. Because if you ever stop and think to yourself, if I have God all figured out, then no longer do I have to practice faith. Because faith is believing before it even happens. Faith is believing even when it makes no sense. Faith is saying, Lord, I feel like giving up, but I have faith today. Lord, it makes no sense why you would allow that to happen to my family, but today I put faith on you again today. It's not our job to figure it out. Some things will be revealed to you, but some things, it's where faith comes. It's where faith is activated. You know, Paul tells us, and may you have the power, in the verse that we read earlier, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. I don't know if you've noticed this. I love how Paul in verse 18 tells us, may you have the power to understand. And then in verse 19, he says, it is too great to understand. I think he's trying to tell us some things we will understand. Some things will be revealed to you. Some scriptures will pop out at you and God will speak to you. But some things will not be understood because we need to have faith. We need to find ourselves on our knees and put our faith in the person of Jesus Christ once again. Point number two is this. Fully understand that you will never fully understand. Fully understand that you will never fully understand. But beyond that though, have faith, choose to trust, and believe. I believe that faith is the midway between the things revealed to us. I believe that faith is what takes us, as it's what draws us near. Scriptures say, as we draw near to God, he draws near to us. Some things we understand and we move forward. Sometimes we don't, but then we still move forward. Oh, that thing actually makes sense. You still move forward. Man, I really have to practice faith right now so I continue to rise and move forward. No matter what, we advance. How awesome would it be if we could be part of a church that had such vision for a year, which is to advance? How cool would that be if there was an Australian dude out there that would cast vision to his church that no matter what, we will advance. No matter what, we will have faith in what we go through, because that is our job as a church. So number one was fight your battles on your knees. Number two was fully understand that you will never fully understand. But again, I remind you, have faith, choose to trust and believe. The next point is this: we limit God when we no longer thirst for him. We limit him when we no longer thirst for him. You know, a different scripture, John 4, verse 13, says this. Jesus was, it's not going to say it, but he was hanging out at the well, and he was talking to this woman, and he said to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Number three today is this: take a drink from the man at the well. Don't take a drink from the well, but take a drink from the man at the well. I believe that the well represents man-made things that we try to come up with in order to sustain the thirst, the void that a lot of us are born with and we can't explain. But then we hear of this person of Jesus Christ, and then until that very moment where we encounter him, all of a sudden it makes sense. Man, I think he's clearly telling us today, one of the things that can limit God in our lives is when we stop thirsting for him. I believe that God's saying to you and I today, take a drink from the man at the well. Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. John 6, 35 says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will no longer be hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Psalm 63, verse 1 says this, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I believe that no matter where you are, whether it's a desert, whether it's a dark season, it's a happy one, it's a tough one. Man, if you could just thirst for the one that can give you the kind of drink that no longer you would thirst from, it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of the desert, you will find water. You will find the very thing that will sustain your soul, your inner being. Come on, does someone believe today that Jesus is the only one that could sustain your soul? You can take a drink from the man at the well at any time. Today, if you feel discouraged, you can take a drink. Today, if you're feeling lost, you can take a drink. If you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling sick, I don't care where you are. If you can just take a drink from Jesus. Again, it goes back to being on your knees, a place of surrender. A place where you not only read his scripture, but you tattoo it in your very inner being. You tattoo it in your soul. And that's just a reference to make sure it stays there. It can't be removed. What are you thirsty for today? The world wants you to be thirsty for something else, and I don't even want to go there, because that just messes people up. But today, man, I believe that God's saying to you and I, take a drink from the man at the well. As you make your way to the well, a lot of us have made our way to the well. Little did you know you were going to meet this man who can put away your thirst for the rest of your life, who can sustain your soul, fix that very thing you've been struggling with for the rest of your life. Whether you're in the desert or in Florida, it doesn't matter. Only he can sustain that thirst. That is point number four today. That was three. Number four, I am kind of thirsty. But I'll be thirsty soon again. Number four today is this. I think we limit God, and the band can come up. We limit God when we are stuck to the method. I think we limit God when we are stuck to the method. Paul tells us in verse 20, as we read earlier today, Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. All glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Infinitely more than we might ask or think. You know, as I read this, I was reminded that his ways of moving are infinite. And to be infinite, you can't really measure. You can't really put a number. You can't really say, oh, he's moved this way and that's the only way he's going to move. No, that is putting a limit. That is trying to bound something that it's not meant to be bound. And I think sometimes we can limit our God by remembering the way he's moved in the past. And I'll make that very clear, what I'm trying to say. It's great to remember that God has moved, that God has shown up, that he has saved you, he has set you free. But I think sometimes we can get married to the method and forget the one who actually showed up. You know, I think point number four today, we need to forget how and remember who. You know, sometimes we can get so used to, oh, I fasted for 3 days and God showed up. I went to church for 4 weeks straight for the first time ever and God gave me a new job. That is great. But it's not so much the method, it's the person that showed up. And I think sometimes we can limit God because we expect him to move in the same way in the future. But if his ways are infinite, there's no way you can expect him to move in the same way. He may or may not, but there's infinite amount of ways that he might show up in that way. And I think sometimes God may be moving in a new way, but because we're so married to the old way that he moved in the past, we end up missing the very way that he's moving again right now. We just sang a song that says, if he did it once, he will do it again. And that is true, but do you know that we can be spiritually blind if we are so caught up to the method? One thing that we know about the church here at Church Alive, that the method will always change. The message will never be altered. The message will always be Jesus. The Bible will always be preached, but some ways how we do it, the lighting, the style, the venue, this venue will always be too small. One day when we get a 20,000 seat auditorium, guess what? It's only a matter of time before it's too small, because his ways never stay the same. He stays the same through the ages, but his ways are infinite. I believe that we limit God when we are stuck to the method. Last point today is forget how. Remember who. Forget how he did it, but remember that he did it. Forget how he came through, but remember that he did come through. Forget how he answered you, but remember that he did answer you. Forget how he healed you, but remember that he did heal you. Forget how he showed up, but remember that he always shows up. Scripture tells us that if we have faith and just believe, we can say to any mountain, any obstacle, anything that is against you, as long as we believe on the inside, it has to move. And as we sang today, I'm pretty sure we could all agree that we've seen God move. He moved the mountains, he moved the situations, he moved that thing. But I believe that one of the ways that we can continue to allow God to be limitless in our lives is to forget how and remember who. Forget how. Remember who. Don't try to put a formula to someone that no scientist can measure, can put a number to. I don't care how hard they try. He is too great to be fully understood. Our God is too great to be fully dissected and to the point where we're like, ah, I get him now. No, because we will never get to a place where we get him. But one thing we do get is that faith brings joy to his heart. Is that when we close our eyes and we open up our eyes spiritually, when we find ourselves in a place where we kneel down, we forget about everything else, and we have that raw intimacy with God, then he is limitless in our lives. Does that make sense to someone today? Can we stand to our feet? Four points today was, we limit God when we think we have it all figured out. But how do we undo that? We come to a place where we fully understand that we will never fully understand, and just have faith, trust. Another point was, One of the ways that we limit God is we only stand when we only stand on our feet when we're meant to fight a lot of our battles and claim victory on our knees. We limit God when we no longer thirst for Him. But I think God is calling some people today to take a drink from the man, the person of Jesus Christ. And lastly, I believe we can limit God when we're stuck. We're so married to the method. But I believe God's saying to you and I today, forget how and remember who. Yes, I am faithful. Yes, I've done it before and I'll do it again. Just forget how. Because if you remember how, there's no faith being practiced. But if you forget how and you just keep remembering who, now you have faith in the who to come again and move once again in your life. Forget how, remember who. Can we close our eyes today and pray? Father, we thank you for this moment in your church. We thank you for your presence here, Lord. Well, we confess today that perhaps there are some things in our lives that we've allowed to sit in for too long that has limited you, even though you are limitless, Father. And we surrender that area right now. Just believe that the Holy Spirit is putting perhaps a thought in your mind or speaking to you, nudging you about a certain area in your life. It could be within the points of today, but maybe it's another area. Something that has been limiting you, something you need to drop, something you need to let go. And I'm just believing that this will be a moment of freedom for every single person in this place. Father, we thank you for your touch right now. Holy Spirit, we declare that you are limitless in every area of our lives today. We worship you, Lord. We honor you, Father. With every eye closed, no one looking around in an attitude of worship and prayer. We always like to give people an opportunity to put their faith in the person of Jesus Christ for the first time. At some point, we find ourselves in a place where we have that choice to say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I repent. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I want to live a limitless life that you have for me. If that's you today, if you've never had a moment where you said, Jesus, I trust in you. I put my faith in you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you up. Every eye closed. No one's looking around. I'm just going to ask that you slip up your hand right where you are, just as a sign of response. So I'm going to give 20 seconds right now on 1, 2, 3. If that's you today, just slip up your hand right where you are, where you're saying, Jesus, I put my faith in you today. Jesus, I trust in you for the first time. I repent of my sins, but Lord, help me find myself in a place where you can be limitless in my life and I can tap into your unlimited resources. If that's you right now, I see that hand in the back. I see that hand. I see that hand right there. That's great. I see that hand. You can put it down. People are responding for the first time. I'm going to wait 10 more seconds. If that's you today, maybe you feel a tug in your heart. Go ahead, slip up your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. It's one of the most powerful decisions that you can make in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for every response, every hand that was raised today. Lord, as we declare that you are a limitless God, Lord, we declare your power, your truth, your provision over every single person in this room, especially, Lord, those coming home for the first time. Jesus, have your way, your kingdom come, and your will be done over their lives and over our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. If you believe it today, can we give Jesus some praise? Come on.